was at my dad's house and asked how my day was going. I asked if I'd come speak down here in West Campus. And I said, well, I've had better days. And, you know, at that time, at that moment, I'm sitting at my dad, and I know he's got hours left, maybe a few days at the most. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking to myself, where did the time go? I shouldn't be sitting here at this age. And, you know, I got pictures. One of the things I don't like to keep a lot of things, one of the things I kept from my father was some pictures. And pictures of him when he played high school football. And here was a young, good-looking guy with red, fiery hair. And, you know, a guy 6'2" and athletic. And now I'm looking at a decrepit old man. He can't even move. Where did time go? In fact, I was asked to give a lesson. What would be a lesson that you could give that would really make a difference? And I think a lesson that would make a difference is using our time wisely. I hear many people say to me, Paul, you don't understand my life. I'm just too busy. I don't have time to work out. If I had a dollar for that. No, you really have the time. We all have 168 hours in a week. We just haven't made the decision to use the time that way. I remember I heard a story of a young man who'd be studying to be a preacher, and he went up to an old preacher and says, man, I wish I knew the Bible like you do. He goes, you can, but it'll cost you your life. It costs time. Time is a lot like money. You can use it any way you want, but you can only use it once. Or you could waste it, or you can invest it into your future. I'd like to join the Apostle Paul in just a minute in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 will be our text tonight. And the Apostle Paul, as he's in a prison, this is 61 to 63 AD, he's in prison. And when you have time to sit down and reflect in your life in prison, maybe he doesn't even know if he's going to get out or not. So he has the time to think about what's really important in life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, Paul says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Well, what's the difference between the wise and the unwise? He says in verse 16, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What he says is, we can use our time in one of two ways, either like a fool or wise. And time really doesn't care. Managing our time and managing our life, I'd like to talk to you about tonight, is in a biblical perspective, what the Bible says about time. And I'm always cognizant of my time. I'm watching the time here. Don't worry. In fact, one of the things I always do at Eden Claw is I set my alarm for about 30 minutes. Why? Because I want to be done in 30 minutes. I want to say what I need to say, sit down and shut up and let you respect your time and let you go your way. I'll make sure I'll have you out here early tonight. But no, we need to understand that we really have a responsibility towards time, the time that God gave us. And the Apostle Paul says, one of the things that we ought to do in that time is to be able to understand what the will of the Lord is. Many people don't understand the will of the Lord. It's not because they can't intellectually, it's because they don't take the time. First point I'd like to make with you, I have 3 points I'd like to make with you today, is the value of time. In Genesis, the 5th chapter and verse 1, time has been very important since the very beginning, I guess, is my first point. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1 says, this is the book of the generation of Adam, the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And then in verse 5 says, so all the days Adam lived were 930 years. Well, that's a long time, but he's got a problem. What's that? And he died. Drop down to verse 25 and 26. It says, Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years, and after he became the father of Lamech, he had other sons and daughters. Boy, people were living a long time, weren't they? 1,000 years. That seems like a long time. Yet time changed. Turn over the page in Genesis, the 6th chapter. Join with me a couple of verses. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man. He was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. The Lord sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So what did he do? Verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is flesh. Nevertheless, the days shall be 120 years. At the beginning, people lived a long time, and then their time got shortened. God said, I gave people a long time to live, and they hurt me. So if they're going to hurt me, I'm going to give them a short period of time to do it. And he destroyed the world with the flood, because people didn't use their time effectively. The psalmist says in Psalms chapter 90, this is a psalm of Moses, as he's an older man and he has time to reflect, if you will. In Psalms chapter 90, join with me in verse 8. Psalms 90 is God's eternity, man's how he's transitory. God is eternal, man is not. Verse 8. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. You see everything, Lord. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have our finished our years like a sigh. What is that? That was a sigh. Didn't take very long, did it? Dropped around verse 10. Verse 12. Based on that, since God is eternal and we are not, our life is just a vapor, James calls it. He calls it a sigh. Based on that, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of vision. Heart of wisdom. Everything we do in life should be based on our relationship with God and live our lives backwards. If this is where our life is, how shall we live? I know my father asked me to do his funeral service. And at first I said, no, Dad, I can't do your funeral service. I'm your younger son. But based on what I knew on him, based on how he spent his life, I was able to go back and track and look at his days. Look what he's done. Look at some of the milestones in his life. Look some of the things he did. And I asked my wife after I was done, I said, what do you think Dad would have thought? He said, I think that he would have really liked what you and your brother said about him today. What does that mean? Live our life backwards. What will be said at your funeral? What will be said at mine? Based on that, how should we live? Moses says, based on that, we ought to learn how to number our days because we only have so many days. And if that is true, plan our lives on that accordingly. Some people live like they're going to live forever. I know a guy I work with. He was in his 60s, and then he thought he'd go out and buy a big house. I got thinking to myself, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who's going to pay for it? You're not. Now, if you're trying to buy a new house, I'm not calling you stupid. But... And sure enough, got this great big mansion of his house that his wife wanted. 6 months later, he got brain cancer, and you know the rest of the story. And who's going to pay for the house? Learn to number your days. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books, not just biblical books, but books to read. One of the reasons is it's so full of wisdom. We see the wisest man in the world, that God created this man and gave him wisdom because he wanted to rule his people well. Notice what some of the things he says at the conclusion in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart. Put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of your life are fleeting. Enjoy life when you're young. I wish there were some young people here tonight. I was hoping there would be. Enjoy life and have fun when you're young. Do everything. Dream big. Have big goals. Have big dreams. Have things you're hard to sit on. But be sensible in that period of time. Live a wise life, not an unfruitful life. Because all mankind that started off young once, they all started off with babies. And they all went through the process. Some of them never even get. I remember the first funeral I ever did was for a relative of mine that was 6 weeks old. Some people never get there. But some people, all one thing have in common is they're born, and then what happens? Hopefully you live young, live a productive life. But don't forget God. He says that in chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, when the days are evil and days draw nigh, when you say, I have no delight in them. For the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are dark, and the clouds return after the rain. In that day the watchmen of the house tremble, mighty men stoop, grinding ones stand idle, because they are fewer, and those who look to the widow grow dim. Life changes. Body changes. Man's body at 60 isn't what it was at 20. He changes. I remember when I was a younger man, I used to make fun of people with glasses. I can't see without them. I'm blind. Not literally blind, but I couldn't read. I couldn't do this lesson without my glasses tonight. My hearing's getting really bad. My body feels really good, and I feel like $1 million every day, except I can't hear very well. What happened? My hearing got bad. And then I sit down, and my dad, I notice it when he's there's a point of his life. I gave him his last meal, and you know what? He just didn't really want to eat. What happened? Life changed. Sometimes you don't want to eat, and life isn't that fun, and just like, oh, I'm just here. And he, I remember telling my son a few times when I was visiting, he says, life, getting old isn't easy. This is tough stuff. It's not for the weak. But it happens to all of us. Celebrate your young life. I think one of the things that I like to do is I got some steak at home. When I get home tonight, I may throw some steak on the barbecue and celebrate with my wife and kids. Hey, life is good. God is good. He's blessed us with this house. He's blessed us with living here in America. And life is good. But there may be a time that I don't even enjoy eating that steak. Enjoy your youth. Celebrate life. Thank God for our youth and all the things He blesses us with. But we're running against time. We have a stewardship of time. Until we manage time, we cannot manage anything else. Abraham Lincoln was really a great story. If you ever read his autobiography, some of the adversity he had to go through his life, he lost his mom at a young age. He had to go to work at a young age, put bread on the table. So what he would do is work during the day, and he would study at night. Just a really great story. And he prepared himself at a young age, and his chance came. What does that have to do with anything? We have a responsibility, a stewardship of time, to prepare ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, let no man regard us in manner as servants of God and stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, we have a responsibility to God. In this case, moreover, is required stewards if one be found trustworthy. I think what he's talking about is the Word of God, but at the same time, based on the Word of God, we have a stewardship of time. It's our responsibility. We've been trusted in our time. And everybody has a different window of time. I don't know what yours is. I don't know what mine is. The average man lives to be 76. My dad didn't quite make it. I don't know what your time is. You know what mine is. I ran into a guy Sunday after church. A guy I've been trying to have some talks with an old Teamster. He lost his kids at a young age. I don't know what your window is. There was a lady from church Wednesday night. She got in a car accident. If you were to interview her, you'd probably say she probably had no idea that she would be driving in a week and somebody would come and hit her and do bodily damage to her and her son. I don't know what tomorrow has got in store. But it's not our life. Our life belongs to Him. we're to be trustworthy stewards of the time that he's entrusted to us. We have responsibility. In fact, I came up here tonight. I had passed up a shift down at the port. Passed up a shift because I thought this was more important. Because I think I have a responsibility to share this message of time with people while I'm still here. More people are killed down at the port than killed in the Tacoma Police Department every year. What does that mean? I don't know. Life is dangerous. Walking across the street is dangerous. But I tell you one thing I try to do before I go to work every day is say my prayers and say, Lord, if you take me, I just ask it to be quick. Quick and painless. That's all I like. Quick and painless.
Then we can go home. Feels like me sometimes fighting time. But we just had a little bit more time. We don't. We have what we have.
Matthew, the 25th chapter. You Bible students probably knew I was going to go here. I could park in here and we could spend hours, but for the sake of time, I will not. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus' own teaching is the same as the Apostle Paul's, the same as Moses, the same as from the very beginning. Watch your time.
I'm not going to read all these verses.
Let's look at verses 1 and 2 to get a context. The kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them foolish and 5 of them were prudent. Notice what God said. Notice that, first of all, they all put in the effort. They all had a response, but God looks at people in one of two ways. Either they're fool or they're wise. What's the difference?
Look at verse 8.
But the fool said to the prudent, give us some of your oil for our lamps are going out. Verse 10, and while they're going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him, the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Notice he shut the door. Later, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. The Lord gives us an opportunity of time, a certain window, and when it's over, it's over, and he shuts the door. It's kind of like being in the ark. You probably heard a lot of things. Open up, open up. The Lord shuts the door, and once he shuts the door, we're not opening. We have a window of time. Jesus said, use your time wisely. Drop down to verse 15 to draw a context to the next story of talents. To one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1 each according to his ability. He went out on the journey. One thing about talent and time is we all have some. I feel embarrassed and ashamed that I'm even up here tonight because I think I'm a one talent guy. I don't think I have much. But I think what happens in life is some people think that this is a job or a career or something. I don't know what they think. And so they go and they go another way. So you get the one talent guy out there having to do something because the guys with the 5 and the 10 talents are just too busy.
Maybe for a while. Proverbs 25 and 26. Man with the one talent went and hid it. And he says, I was afraid and hid away your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Here's back. Here's my life. And here it's back. It's not real bad.
But the master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. You should have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would receive more my money back with interest. What he's saying is, you misused time. If you had just let this money in the bank and draw some interest, time would have been on your side, but it's against you.
We all have talent. We all have the window of time tonight. What's important is what we do with what we have.
I love overachievers. I think the world is filled with a bunch of underachievers. God gives them talent and ability and time. And I look at some of the guys that should be preaching that aren't, and I just look at them and say, man, I'm a little bit jealous and I'm a little bit envious. And so it is.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We do what we can with what we have and when we have.
He's given us talents and time to develop them. All have some ability. The difference is some have used their ability and developed their talents, and some have not.
Abraham Lincoln was one that did. He was an overachiever. Can't tell you how many times he was defeated.
In this litany of things they went through, he lost his wife. He was depressed. He was broke. He was defeated. In fact, he had least votes than anybody in history. First time he got beat at being a president, and he got beat more than once.
He kept on and on, kept using his time.
Athletes, I remember you looking at young athletes, and you always hear these stories about potential. This guy's got potential. Potential doesn't mean anything. He's 12 years old now, and he's 15, and then he's going to be 30. You know what? Potential means nothing. You know what NFL means? Not for long. The average guy plays in the NFL 24 months. What does that mean? He's got a window of time to make good decisions. 70% of them are broke within 5 years. What happened? That was going to last forever. No, you have a small period of time. You've got a window of opportunity in your life. That's all you got. The world is full of people's I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda. It doesn't mean anything. One thing I don't want to do in life is I don't want to look in the mirror and say, I shoulda. No, I'm just going to do it. I may die trying, but I'm going to do it. Use your time wisely. Some applications, and then the time will be yours. One of the reasons that people, I got this out of a book, so, and actually I didn't know I was doing this lesson until about 3 weeks ago here, so don't think I'm talking to you specifically. Proverbs writer says, Proverbs is just a great book to teach our young people to go over and meditate on these scriptures and learn these scriptures. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and if we apply these things in the book of Proverbs to our life, we're going to have good lives. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, as a parent is talking to his kids, I have these talks to my kids all the day. They get tired of my talks. That's all right. Here's the object lesson, kids. Go to the anvil, sluggard. No, not tonight. A few more minutes. Go to the anvil, sluggard, and observe her ways and be wise. Which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest. You poverty will come like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. One of the reasons that people don't use their time wisely is because they're lazy. Great object lesson. Watch how the ants live. Watch how these guys, just watch what they do. They're prepared. They're preparing themselves all year long. Use your time wisely. I tell that to my kids every day. I don't care you're 15 years old. I don't care you're 13 years old. You don't have the responsibility. You have a stewardship with your time. I want you to use your time wisely. My son's 15 years old. He's not here to defend himself, so I'll bug him a little bit. He's 15 years old. He's already got his thing for his driver's license. He's going to get his Eagle Scout. And I says, I want you to get it before you're 16. Because when you're 16 years old, you're going to hit the road. You're going to work. And you're going to start saving some of your money. You're going to start preparing your life at 16 years old. You don't have days to let. You don't have days to waste. The summertime isn't for wasting. The summertime is for doing. The summertime is preparing your life for when you're 40 and 20 and so on. I'm not going to give you that one. You're going to have to work. In fact, one of the things I won't do, I refuse to do, is I won't give my kids allowance. I pay them on commission-based. Because that's how life works. You don't get anything from me because you're related to me. You get something from me when you go to work. And if you go wash off my house like you did this week and go out and mow lawns like you do, and all these other things you do, then you get paid. And if you don't do anything, you don't get anything. That's how life works. So you're kind of tough on them, I know. Good training. Procrastination. One of the reasons. In Acts the 24th chapter. Great story here. I can't think of a better illustration on procrastination. Paul is before Felix. I'm verse 25.
But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present. When I find time, I will summon you. Oh, what are you saying? I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to call you when it's a better time for me. But what happened? Look at verse 27. But after 2 years had passed, what happened? He procrastinated 2 years. And we never know he left Paul in jail. I bet if he were going to come and give an object lesson right now, we would listen. He said, you know, if I would have just quit procrastinating and this thing scared me and I needed to deal with it and I needed to be saved, and you know what? I just didn't do it and I was wrong. Get saved. Let God save you. The problem with yesterday, you never have it again. The problem with tomorrow is tomorrow never comes. No, today is the day, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 6. Today is the day. Today is the time. I put technology. Technology, TV, and telephones. And miscellaneous. All kinds of stuff we have to take up our time. We're going to Hawaii this year, and there was a guy on the plane, and I was having this lesson. Actually, we were in March. I was doing this lesson. I had a time management book, and I was writing some notes. And this guy sitting next to me, and he had a book that was about this big. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not even a true book. That's just a waste of time. We're innovated. Satan's pretty small, pretty smart. He knows what people... I can't believe the time that people spend on TV or television. Or maybe have yours. A little sports center at night's okay, isn't it? As long as it doesn't turn 2 or 3 hours. That's 10% of my day. I don't give people 10% of my day. Just can't have it. Why? Because it belongs to him. And we're going to make this real short. Okay? Got Calvin Klein on our behind with not much spiritual on our mind. Facebook, Twitter. Please don't text me. It takes too much time for me to respond. Call me. Call me, talk to me. I'll talk. First things first. I want to talk about a mission. Back up in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to put this. One of the things I like about the Apostle Paul is he's focused. He's got laser vision, if you will. And he's on the mission. And he teaches a young evangelist, maybe not so young, probably in his 40s. Be how to be effective. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus. The thing which you had heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. And trust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You have a mission. You have goals. Follow your goals. Study. I've done studies at Harvard, and the 3% of people that have a mission, that have goals, written goals, accomplish more than 97% of people that don't. What are your goals? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? One of the things that I did I always wanted to do in my life. My dad retired at 57 from the Teamsters, never to work again. And I always told my dad at a young age, I said, Dad, I'm going to outdo everything you do in life. I knew he was getting close in February, and I got doing the calculations. Well, I got 27 years and a few hours. And so I said, well, if I do my sick leave and my vacation, I'll have 28 years, and that's what I need for retirement. I took a month of sick leave and vacation, and I resigned from full-time work at 50 years old. I went over and told my dad, I said, hey, Dad, guess what I did today? He's like, son, who knows? I retired from full-time work today, Dad. You did what? Yeah, I just wanted to be like you. And all my buddies say, are you nuts? Are you crazy? If you stay longer, you'll get more. And I say, yeah, well, big deal. I'm not taking it with me, and neither are you. The day I get eligible, I'm out of there. I'm gone. Because I don't care who you are. You can make more money. But you can't buy time. Time is more important than money. First things first. That's what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. First things first. One of the things I love about soldiers is they're on a mission. They're not playing. They know what their goals are, and they're reminded every day what their goals are, and they get with it, and they get with it quickly. Be like that soldier. I remember I used to be in the military in the Army, and they used to come and knock on our door. Alert! 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 You had a few minutes to get your weapon, get in the van, and you're going for a trip, and you don't know when you're coming back. You can't. You have to be ready. That is your job. That is your mission. That is your goal. You're taking off to defend your country, and you're doing it now. That's what Paul says. Be like that soldier. Jesus says, seek first things first. Why? Because time passes away. And it's funny to me that, I do have a hard time sometimes getting my son up in the morning. But when we go on a quad trip to Oregon, he's up at 6:30 in the morning doing everything. What happened to that boy? Found out what he likes. Not sure how you make a living at it yet. We found out what he likes. In the church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. What does that mean? That means we'd be 20% of the people. I used to wait for somebody to do it, but I found out after a few years that I am somebody. Jesus said, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Put me first. Everything else is second. I'm first. Do something daily. Galatians is a book by the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul gets with the Galatians real quickly. It's the only book that he doesn't come up there and say, hey, you're doing a really great job. And I think he says, I marvel you're so quickly removed from the gospel, which is not another gospel at all. He gets to the point. He gets to the point quickly. In Galatians chapter 6, he tells him in verse 6 and 7, the one who has taught the word ought to share all good things with one who teaches him. Yeah, this is important work. And so don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Do you think that you could eat an elephant? Yeah, I think you could. One bite at a time. Every day. You do the thing that you like the least first. And you start on it first. They call it the rudder of the hour. The rudder of the day is the first hour of the day. A guy told me a long time ago, he says, you want to be good at preaching, here's what you need to do. You need to study an hour every day. I don't have time. First things first. You get up an hour earlier. First things first. Eat the elephant. First things first. One of the great lessons I learned in the Army. I got an old Ranger. One of the great lessons I learned at 18 years old. I always used to think, when I was growing up, that I needed 8 hours of sleep. When I went in right out of high school, my dad gave me 90 days free, and then I was out. Boom, you're gone, bud. I tried to explain that to the drill sergeant, and he wasn't impressed. I remember being in El Paso, Texas, and I was used to coming home at 3 o'clock in the morning, not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. When they say they do more by noon than most people all day, that's true because they're up at 3. They've already put in 9 hours. But I learned at a young age that you can get by on a whole lot less sleep. From the time I was about 18 years old to the time I was about 48, I probably lived on 4 to 5 hours of sleep. How do you find time? How can you work 12 hours a day? How can you do all these things? Compete? How can you do all these things? It's simple. You get up early. You do first things first. You start early in the morning. Now, since I've turned over, I'm just a little over 50, I'm trying to get 5 to 6 hours of sleep. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Body changing, you need a little bit more. But the point is, think about this. For the guy that sleeps 10 hours a day and the guy that sleeps 6 hours a day, you've just over a period of week, you've just got one extra day in. 24 hours. 4 times 7. 28. Not very good math. Say, how can you get so much done? It's simple. I got an extra day. I got an extra day a week. I got an extra 52 days a year. And after a period of 10 and 20 and 30 years, do something. Do something early and do something daily. On the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, He said he credited one of the things that success in his life. He says, you know what? I was always the first one to go to work. They always saw my print press. The lights were on first, and I was the last one to leave. And he said he kept that up for his career. Do something daily. Do something first, and don't let the sun come down. Catch you in bed. And do it early. If you're going to do something, do it early. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Don't lose heart in doing good. Sometimes you don't feel like... Does this matter? Yeah, over a period of time, it'll matter. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. I remember having a talk with my dad about 3 years ago. I said, Dad, I'm really worried about you. He said, you don't understand, son. He said, a lot of people from the church and a lot of people this and, you know, and people treat me bad, and people said that. I said, I know. I understand that. I get that. But what does that do for your soul? Came back to God a couple years ago. There's sometimes in life that I would have told him, Dad, I'm not doing your funeral service for you. I ain't got nothing to say. The last 2 years wasn't time filled like that. Don't get tired. I know as we get older, we get tired. We think, oh, does it matter? Does anybody care? These guys are wearing me out. Oh, it matters. And God cares. And work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He'll make it up to you. Do it until. Nehemiah, as he's building the walls, people are saying, yeah, we're tired. Our clothes are dirty. I know, just hand me another brick. You got some good arguments, but hand me another brick. You got some great arguments. I understand what they're saying. The fox goes on the wall and tears it down, and it's too weak. And all. Just hand me another brick. Continue, continue, continue. And the walls were built in 52 days because the man had a mind to work. And your life, your foundation, you will be rewarded for it someday. When will it be? I'm not sure. Be persistent, consistent. Question I have to ask myself, and the question posed to you tonight is, are we using our time wisely? Last verse I like to make, use with you in 2 Peter. I like Peter because he starts off on one way and he changes and he goes to another way. And at the end of his life, 1 Peter the book is the book about hope, and 2 Peter is the book about knowing and growing. What do we need to know and what do we need to grow, Peter? Verse 8. Here's what you need to know, and here's how we grow. In chapter 3. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. We think that eternity, we think life is long. Not to him, it's short. You know, I was having a discussion with my dentist one time about the Revelation. He said, well, see, he's going to write these things shortly. And then he came back the next time I had a dental appointment. He says, yeah, but see, shortly, 1,000 years is like a day. So 1,000 years can be a day. And I said, well, that's a great conclusion. But the only fact is, God's not writing to himself. He's writing to us. And days matter because we're not even going to live to be 150. He's writing to people that matters. The Lord is not slack about his promise. Oh, sometimes we wonder if he's, you know, if he's concerned. Yeah. That's the one thing about God is he's consistent. He doesn't forget what he said. He's not slow about his promises. Some count of slowness, but is patient, not wishing that any would perish, but all come to repentance. God wants all people to be saved everywhere. And that's the wish for mankind. We wish all men everywhere to be saved. Don't give up on them. There's a young man that I tell you that's a family member. It's a paraplegic. The guy was on the news 2 years ago. Broken for heroin money. He broke in to Puget Sound Energy, and he was going to steal $300 worth of copper. What did it do? It almost killed him. Probably should have. Should have. Wasn't his time yet. Paraplegic. And I said to my wife, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my whole life. Went and saw him a few weeks ago. I'm thinking, it'd be better if he was dead. All he's doing is sucking up people's time. He doesn't care. The Lord knows that. He knows his heart. What happened? God didn't want him dead at that time. God wants him saved, and I'd be really surprised if he doesn't get baptized into Christ soon. I'm not sure, God, how we're going to do that, but But the day of the Lord will come. He'll come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. He's coming. My sons, we like to go down to the McCord Air Force Base where they have the military show, the jets and stuff. And my son's favorite one is the Warthog. You ever see the Warthog and hear it hit the fire and hear the explosion? Boom! Probably seen a few of those in action now. I told my son, you ever see that Warthog coming? Don't run. Say your prayers. That's all you're going to have time for. He's coming. And it's going to be a bend. We want to be on his side. Since these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of persons ought to be in holy conduct and godliness? Here's an exciting one. Looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will be melted with intense heat. Remember sitting at my father and his deathbed. He says, I don't like life anymore. He says, I can't get up. I can't do anything. I'm looking forward to a new body and a new life. He told us he was ready to go. And he went to be with God. When he passed, I wasn't sad at all. I was kind of celebrating in a way. Celebrating that first day, that Sunday at 1 o'clock in the morning, that he gets to be with the Lord on that day. He gets to be that quickly. Somebody said, why don't you say a prayer for your dad? I was not saying a prayer for dad. He's already there. He's gone. Boom. And he was looking forward to it. And I want to be like, I said, before he left, I said, Hey, hero. You can go ahead and leave us. I want to see you there. That's your lesson for tonight. I hope that you got something out of it. I hope that you consider these things of time. I appreciate you being here on a Wednesday night, and it's 80 degrees out here, and you're here. You're one of the few. You're one of the seeky first, and so I'm probably even talking to a long audience tonight. But I appreciate you here. Appreciate your encouragement. I hope that you got something out of it, that you consider any of those things to help you, that your walk will be better, that we can spend eternity together. Won't that be great? Eternity together with God's people, with the redeemed from all the very beginning. But we have to come to God on his terms. You said in John chapter 3, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you're born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We have to come to God on his terms and be his children. Whether you need the prayers of the congregation or become a child of God or whatever, why don't you let it be known as we stand and sing the songs and stuff at this time.